And friends, please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When the movie version of The Da Vinci Code came out in 2006, you might remember it was met with much of the same criticism and controversy as the book on which it was based. Many people of faith, and particularly the Catholic Church, were highly critical of claims that were made in The Da Vinci Code. They were especially upset by the claim that Jesus and Mary Magdalene had been married and that they had a child together. When the stars of the movie did an interview with the Today Show as part of the publicity tour when the movie came out, actor Ian McKellen fanned the flames of this controversy when he responded to a question about whether the movie contradicts what is written in the Bible. Because of those contradictions, the question was whether the movie should start with some sort of disclaimer, something like, "This is fiction." To which Ian McKellen said, "I've often thought the Bible should have a disclaimer in the front saying, 'This is fiction.' Believing what is written in the Bible takes an act of faith." Fact or fiction? That is often the question people ask about the Bible. Is it history or just plain story? Is it provable or is it improbable? I remember back to when we first offered Disciple Bible Study. That was 12 years ago now, in the fall of 2010. The Disciple curriculum took us through 80% of the Bible over a span of 34 weeks. Along with reading big chunks of scripture each week, our classes included a short video presentation from a biblical scholar, someone who could help us put the reading into context, understanding historical context, learning about literary theory, questioning why a particular text was written and who the intended audience was. That was a new way of reading scripture for many in the class. And it raised more questions than it gave answers. I remember after our particularly challenging discussion about the book of Jonah, a book in which the word whale is never actually used, after that challenging discussion, which came after weeks of other challenging discussions about other familiar stories in the Bible, one of the class members raised her hand and she said, "Can you please just tell me now? Is anything in the Bible true?" One of the verses that we read today, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, is one that people often point to in order to prove that the Bible is true. It says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." All scripture is inspired by God. You'll notice that it doesn't say all scripture was written by God. But that's what many people understand this verse to say, that the Bible is the literal word of God. And if God wrote all of these words, then they are perfect, they are unquestionable, they are true. But what this verse says is that scripture is inspired by God. The word inspired sounds similar to the Latin word for breathing, spirare. In fact, they both have the same root as the word for life and spirit, spiritus. To breathe in, inspirare, is to draw the spirit inside of ourselves, to fill ourselves with life. The author of the letter to Timothy uses that word, inspired, when he writes about Scripture. So another way of understanding Scripture is to see the Bible as a collection of stories written by those who were filled with the Spirit. Those who had drawn the Spirit deep inside of themselves. Those who found themselves filled with new life through their encounters with Jesus Christ. Those who felt God at work in the world in powerful ways. They wrote down their stories. So what binds together all the different texts found in the Bible is that word inspired. They were all inspired by the author's experiences of our living God. One of the most beautiful things about the Bible is it has a variety of different kinds of writing. Because the people who wrote the Bible experienced God in different ways, we get to read a whole variety of different kinds of texts. There are narrative stories and historical accounts. There are religious laws and community guidelines. There are poems and hymns. There are letters and testimonies. There are lots of wondrous miracles. And a whole lot of pretty mundane details. So part of our job is to read Scripture, to read these inspired experiences of God. And our job is to learn as much as we can about what was going on in the world when the ancestors of our faith wrote these stories down. Then we can let the wisdom of their words and the truth of their experiences inspire us as we figure out what it means to be the church in the world today. But in order for Scripture to live and breathe in us, we have to read it. We have to actually open up our Bibles or our Bible apps and read them. I've often wondered about the number of Bibles that we have given out through Old South over the years. We are getting ready next year to celebrate our 300th anniversary, so I've got to imagine that there are tens of thousands of Bibles out in the world that have come from Old South. And I wonder how many of them are still in pristine condition. How many of them have uncracked spines and perfectly smooth pages? How many of them have never been opened? So maybe that's a place for all of us to start. Maybe we start by finding a Bible that has been tucked away somewhere in our house, somewhere in a drawer or on a bookshelf, and we open it up. Now, if you're anything like me, the first time that you decide to read the Bible from start to finish, you likely start at the beginning, because that's what you're supposed to do with a book, right? You start on page one, and you make some good progress. Genesis and Exodus are pretty interesting. They've got some good stories. And then you hit Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and those three books with verse after verse of ancient law and archaic worship practices, they are enough to discourage even the most enthusiastic Bible reader. So, if the Bible is new to you and you're wondering where to start, I wonder if a place to start might be with the Gospels. To start with the story of Jesus. There's four of them to choose from. Luke is my favorite. I think John is Reverend Brian's favorite. But Matthew and Mark are available too. All four great places to start. You can try the Gospels first. Then maybe dig into the Psalms. Reverend Brian talked about the Psalms in last week's sermon about worship. And did you know that Psalms is right in the middle of the Bible? Often, if you crack open a Bible and let it fall to the middle, you'll be right in the Psalms. Maybe there's a reason. This ancient book of prayer is right at the center of the living word of God. Maybe you want to try joining a Bible study class. We have a couple that meet here at Old South, one on Wednesday evenings and one on Thursday mornings. Or, shameless plug, maybe you want to come downstairs today to the Open and Affirming workshop after the congregational meeting. And we'll talk about what the Bible really says about homosexuality. So friends, I hope you will let the living word of God inspire you. Let the Bible breathe new life into you. And as for that question about whether anything in the Bible is actually true or not, I wonder if we really need to answer that question. What if the Bible can offer us deep and profound truth, truth with a capital T, without needing it all to be literally true? We can still allow our lives to be inspired by the deep and profound truth of the Word of God. Discovering that truth, letting that truth live and breathe in us, that is what it means to be the church today. To be a place and to be a people where God's word is deeply and truly alive. Amen. So our closing hymn will again remind us of the gift of Scripture. It is wonderful words of life. If you're here in the sanctuary, you'll find it in the hymnal, and if you're worshiping from home, the words will drop into the comments.